Welcome to The Scott Townsend Show, brought to you by Dietzel Man Productions.
Hey, this is Scott Townsend. Welcome back to The Scott Townsend Show. And today I have with me stand-up comedian, all-around great guy, personal friend of mine, Adam Bush.
Super nice. Hi, Adam. Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm having a great time. I'm off the road today, so just hanging out with the fam. So we're doing great. Great week.
You're a busy little boy right now. You've got a special coming out next month.
I do.
Dry bar special coming out next month.
I know. Two specials in 1 month. No one should do that, but they were filmed 2 years apart. So that's kind of how it works, I guess.
You've gone into full-time stand-up?
I have. So I still write on a couple of television shows, which has been a big passion of mine. But yeah, I'm especially busy with stand-up right now. Touring with Preacher Lawson. This is month 7, and I just got dates through the rest of the summer. So, pretty soon it'll be a whole year. So, big goal and dream of a stand-up. And I'm really honored, really thankful.
On the road. Two specials coming out, full-time stand-up position, and teaching comedy.
A little bit. That one was kind of a byproduct. Every comic wants to have a home club, a place where they can walk in the door and be able to get on stage just about any time, especially if they're working on some sort of submission. Yeah. I've been very blessed to have a great relationship with the Looney Bin, which is here in Tulsa, which is a solid club. And Mason over there, the owner, has been incredibly supportive of my career. And but as I got busier, I'm their house comic, but which means they call on me a lot, but I've been on the road a lot. And so he asked me, could you take some of what you've been learning, give it to some of the other comics so that we can have, a new group of people who can MC and feature and, do that sort of thing. And it's been great for me because I'm getting to kind of look through what it is that I've been blessed to learn for a while now. And
can you really teach somebody to be funny?
Well, I would say that's probably up for debate. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask that question. I don't really know. but what I do think you can teach, and what the class is predominantly focused on, is how to be a professional. And so when you get into comedy, my experience has been that there are a lot of people who are funny or have the potential to be funnier, but they lose a lot of opportunities because they just don't carry themselves in a way that would be expected in any sort of organization, because it's kind of a funny job. People do things that you would never fly at, like a regular corporate job or any other sort of job. Like, you can't work at Starbucks and be drunk, yet there are comics professionals too, like, who are wildly successful, who get on stage and are inebriated.
That's their shtick,
So a lot of what we're talking about, in fact, I was working on the syllabus today, a lot of what we're talking about today is just how to one of my points is how to not be a nuisance, because no club owner wants to book someone who's annoying. And so a lot of what we're talking about is just, networking and, how to do the job, because it's a job. It's fun, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah. How to show up, how to.
You'd be surprised at how many people lose the gig because they don't show up on time. It's insanity.
Wow. Yeah. I was looking at your, one of your video clips with I don't know who this was. You were in Pittsburgh, and talking about crowd work just for a second, you had this guy. This wasn't a setup, was it? I mean, it was legit guy.
You're talking about the guy who robbed
prison, robbed.
Yeah, No, it was not a setup. No, not at all. So to give everybody context, we were at the Pittsburgh Improv. I was with Preacher Lawson, and during my set, I just regularly ask people, has anybody in this room ever been to jail or prison? And most of the time, I got a bunch of clips like this. Most of the time, people are like, yeah, I went to jail for hot check. Like, one time this lady was like, I was like, what did you write the check for? And she's like, some pizza. And like, it's silly stuff. Like, that's a ridiculous thing, you know, to go to jail for her to do and to go to jail for. But I asked, and this one guy yelled that he went for robbery, which is, I mean, this is a legit crime. I mean, that's prison. And I asked him how long he'd been in. He was there in 21 years.
Let me see if I can share this. Okay, we're going to let it roll. Here we go. Here's Adam Bush, Pittsburgh, dealing with this was pretty hilarious.
What'd you go to prison for?
Robbery.
I've never been more excited. Yeah, okay. Wait, hold on. Okay, no, listen. I'm going to give you time. You don't worry.
Don't give me time. I did enough time.
We're going to have that guy close the show after, Preacher. Come on now. Yeah, Kate, can you just tell me how do you say it? What were the details of the robbery, sir?
Standing on the corner, you selling drugs, I'm going to get you.
All right, couple things I need you to know. Number one, we might let you leave first tonight. How long are you in?
I got a lot of people.
But, I mean, we good now? Or
I'm here for my 61st birthday.
Come on. All right, yeah, this is probably going to be one of the better ones, sir, is what I'm going to do. All right, I got to get out of here for several reasons.
Yeah, that was really great. I really love that. You know, crowd work has got to be its own thing, you know, thinking on your feet, being able to, you know, ride along with them as you guys are going back and forth.
Yeah, I'm not the master of crowd work by any means. There are incredible, I mean, there are whole specials of people who do an hour's worth of crowd work. And I will say, any comic worth their salt is going to watch that clip and they're going to be like, that clip is about that guy. That is that is less about me being a good stand up. I think what it does maybe showcase, at least for me, is that I have been given a lot of opportunities lately, which I'm very thankful for. And with that just comes the hours, the 10,000 hours of being a comedian and being able to interact in those situations. There does seem to be a formula for a lot of crowd work. I watch that, and there's a couple of things that I see in there that I am following suit. A lot of times it's about allowing that person just to talk and just giving them sort of the floor and not interrupting them. And I think I'm probably pretty good at that.
Yeah, that's generous. That's really generous.
Where I do think I could grow is there are guys that are just wittier than me. And there was like a good example is somebody commented that video went crazy on TikTok. And somebody just said that guy stole the show. And I was so mad at myself for not saying that on stage. Cause that's just so funny to me. And anyway, so yeah, so I'm, I experienced that moment and I just thought, more than even like being awesome for me, like that's just awesome experience for anybody to have. Like there were people that commented on it. They're like, I was there. That was an awesome moment. And it was, that guy is incredible. And it's a free clip because you're not burning material. And I'm not going to put that in a special, obviously. So yeah, that is my most viewed clip to date. It's at like over a quarter of a million views right now on TikTok. I'm glad I was in the room for it.
You know, somebody asked Jack Benny why he gave all his best jokes to his supporting cast. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, it's because they're on my show. And You're watching the Jack Benny show, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's good.
Very generous, but he also had a method to his madness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's life like on the road? Let me back up. You know, when you first announced that you were going to be a full-time stand-up, I'm being a little facetious when I say I'm sure your wife was ecstatic.
Yeah, she was incredibly supportive. I'll say that. Yeah. And I'm not saying that like that's not tongue in cheek. Mm-hmm. Years ago wanted to write a television show for kids and worked on it for 6 years, crowdfunded part of it. It's called Pete and Penelope. It's very Sesame Street-esque. And she was really supportive. And I've made this joke so many times that she just said, hey, as long as you pay our mortgage, that's fine. Which I always make the joke, like, she didn't even say the electric or the water bill. So, like, which I feel like she would have not liked it if I didn't pay those.
Right.
And you know, we were no kids, two incomes. Like, we had more money to spare. And I did it. And I worked on it for 6 years. And I sold it and we made a whole season and more, and we'll make another season, and it streams on Prime now. I think that gave her a lot of confidence in me saying that I wanted to do something and actually putting in the work.
Right.
Because there are a lot of people that are like, I'd love to write a television show, and they just don't do it, you know, mm-hmm. for whatever reason. There's a lot of people who say, I want to be a professional stand-up comedian, and they just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a lot of clout with her. And again, she just said, however, in her own way, do it. But, and I know this, but our family comes first. We got two kids now, and,
yeah.
you know, more. I think our budget every month is triple what it was back then. It did help. I after I sold Pete and Penelope, I got another television show. So I worked at a church, which, you know, for 15 years, and it was just coming to an end. And right as I was leaving, I got signed on to another television show from an independent studio for about a year and a half. So I've been a full-time stand-up and writer for 2 years. So I had that for a year and a half. So mm-hmm. if stand-up was doing nothing, I was working on that. And so it really was, you know, tremendous favor. And now I'm at the point where I do still write for a lot of, I'm working on another television show right now, somebody else's, and I do a lot of stuff like that. But thankfully also the stand-up is significant enough that I don't have to, I mean, I say have to, I don't have to, I'm not working a job that I don't want to work. And I'm not against that. If look, yeah. This is seasonal. I don't know what the summer is going to look like. I'll throw newspapers if I have to, but thankfully right now I don't have to. So,
all right.
Yeah.
You're also busy with, you mentioned your child, Dad and Lou show.
Or
is that going to be ongoing, or is this,
I don't know. You know, when I got into stand up, me and my pal Chris Munch, who's been on your podcast, he's also an actor. We did a podcast for a year called Risk It for the Biscuit. And it was all about just our journey starting out. He blew up on TikTok, and then I was doing stand up. And after we did that for about a year, which is what we set out to do, I was like, the three of us were like, you know what? I think our efforts right now would be better suited in writing. And so we stepped back from that, but Luna would see it. Luna's five. She's my 5-year-old daughter. She's incredibly extroverted. And she was so just enthralled with just the cameras and the audio. She's always, quote unquote, making, you know, podcasts on her iPad, teaching people. She likes to teach how to do things. And she just asked, she said, Dad, could we do a podcast? And I was like, you got it, girl. And so we did one episode. I let her pick the theme. She wanted to talk about brains the first week. And then the second week, she wanted to talk about school. And she's got another. She wants to do two more. She wants to do one on jokes, and she wants to do one on doctors and nurses. And so we don't do it every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Or anything. It's just like this week's a little crazy because she's got swimming lessons, mm-hmm. but You know, probably when I get back into town after this weekend, I'll be like, you want to do it? And if she wants to do it, great. I do it because I love her. And I do so much material about her on the road that it is nice that when people ask me about her, I'll say, hey, I currently just run it on the Risk It for the Biscuit page on wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
But you know, if she wants to keep doing it, we'll move it over. And you know, if she doesn't want to do it, I'll stop it. It's
All
fine.
right.
It's up to her.
My dad was 51 when he died. It was it was unexpected. People would ask, how did he pass away? And my brother would just look him in the eye and very solemnly go, well, he exploded. My brother's humor is very dark.
So life on the road, man, what does a comedian do all day? Now you're full time, you're working in the evenings, I imagine.
Yeah.
And the day, what, do you sleep all day? What does a comedian do all day? They sleep.
Well, I will say, where I'm at, so I'm a feature. So people who, a little inside baseball, if you are kind of following a comedian's journey, comedians start out as host or an MC, that's the bottom of the barrel. And then you become you middle, which is feature. So if you're in a club, the first person that comes out, generally, there are lots of different ways the show goes, but generally the first person will do 10 or 15 minutes. They're also in charge of like house rules, like, you know, who's coming up, that sort of thing at the club. The middle is the sweet spot. They call it the sweet spot because it's about 20 to 30 minutes. So that's a significant amount of time, but I wasn't in charge of selling tickets. Like no one's coming to see me. Mm-hmm. They're coming to see the headliner, and then the headliner will do 45 minutes to an hour. And I did a gig in Tulsa at another club with Preacher Lawson, who got famous on America's Got Talent. I don't know how many years ago, 7 years ago or so. I think it was like 2017. And he just blew up, and he's so funny, and he's for the most part clean. I would say he's a clean comic. And anyway, he after I did five shows with him, I thought I'd never see him again. But then his manager called a couple weeks later and said, "Hey, we're looking for somebody to go out on the road with us." And I was like, "I'd love to." So I've been out on the road with him. And so I say all that to say what you do during the day in my position is largely I'm on his time. I mean, he's the one paying me. And so he is a go-getter. It is exhausting. We get up in the morning, we go work out. I have never worked out until I got on the road with him. We work out. We shoot videos during the day. Regularly, he'll have an idea for like, hey, I want to make these funny videos about relationship advice because he's not in a relationship, so that's funny. Or you know, I want to do a faux date kind of thing. And so I have a video background, so I shoot all my shows, I shoot all his shows, I cut all his clips, I cut my clips, and then I do like extra video work for him. So yeah, and then we go back, get ready, and then I gotta be at the club at somewhere, depending on the day, between 4 and 6 to set up our cameras for the night. And if we have a show at 7, we got to be ready to roll. And I do my set. I make sure that the cameras are good for him. I'll film a little bit of crowd work for him. Like if he's talking to somebody in the crowd, I'll grab my camera and shoot the person. And then there's a merch table and I sell merch and he sells merch. And so I typically have my camera and my merch. And so I'm like checking people out. And then I like reach over and like shoot an interaction with him with a fan, that sort of thing. And then we pack up at midnight because we do two shows a night and go back, get to bed at 1, get back up at 7 or 8. And I have a family, so I get up an hour or two earlier so that I can have FaceTime with them when I'm out on the road. So it's so tiring. I told you this, but he said something the first or second time we were out. He's like, what are you talking about? We go to work at 6. And I'm like, it is a job. And that is something that I just wasn't, it wasn't on my radar. I thought when I go out, we're going to go, it's cool, show up, do my set, hang out. But it is as daunting, if not more, than any other job that you would have. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of times where we're about to do the second show at 10:15 at night, and I'm like, is it canceled? Which it never is. Can we go to bed? And it's a first world problem, but it is tired. And I'll say one big thing about it is the travel, because like I got it easy this weekend. We're in Kansas City, so I'm gonna drive to Kansas City. That's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
But last week, I went. We did Kansas City or Kansas, and then down to Waco. And so like that's
my
so
hometown.
Much.
Yeah.
Oh, Waco's your hometown. Yeah. I went down there and did a thing for the eclipse. Mm-hmm. So. And flights, and they're canceled, and like you travel so much, mm-hmm. so much. Yeah. And it's awesome. And it's, that's one of the reasons we work out, as he said, if we're going to be on the road, we got to eat right.
Yeah.
And we got to work out. Mm-hmm. Otherwise we'll destroy ourselves. And it's true. Yeah.
So let's talk about your, special, Who Brought the Kid.
Yeah.
What's this all about?
When I got into comedy, I knew I wanted to do more than jokes. I love jokes, but I wanted to tell a story. I'm a huge Mike Birbiglia fan. He is the reason I'm even a comedian to this day. In fact, I got to see him perform last night, and we spent some time together. And I was just thanking him for, even helping me get set down this path. But he tells stories. He's not the only one. There's a lot of comics that do like linear stories, but I wanted to do a narrative. It was always my goal. And big insecurity I've always had in my life is this time that someone, when I was in high school, just said, I walked in the door and they just said, who brought the kid? And just this very demeaning kind of, response to my presence. And that I've watched that insecurity just follow me in different moments of my life, including like when I was writing the television show and different things that I wanted to do. And I, every time I would tell people these stories related to this, I would feel a sense of connection to people. And so for about 2 years, I worked on crafting this almost hour-long narrative. And when I felt like it was ready, I filmed it at the Chimera Ballroom, which is downtown Tulsa, which is a very special spot to me, means a lot to my family, and took us a while to dial it in and get it ready. But it's ready, and so on May 17th, it'll premiere on YouTube, and you'll be able to see it on my website, heyadambush.com, and there'll be tons of clips on my social media, which is at heyadambush. But yeah, it's just my first step into this kind of autobiographical storytelling. And that's what it's about. Cool. It does. I tell people it's about insecurities, death, and comedy. And it's a big part of it is about my father who passed away 14 years ago, and the difference in the way that he was encouraging versus the discouragement that I felt in different settings. So I think my hope is that a lot of people connect with it, especially if they've lost somebody that they love.
I miss my dad a ton. It's been 13 years. Like, to the point that I have, I've romanticized the dead. Like, my mom, who's sitting right there, she was just as big a part of, thank you for her. My mom was just as big a part of my life, as my dad was. But, I wrote this special about my dad. So, Mom, if you want your own special.
You got the and then there's Dry Bar, which I think a lot of people know about now. Clean Axe.
Yep.
Does it seem like there's a lot of older guys on that?
There are. Yeah, there are a lot of older guys. I think that I think a lot of older, I think it's for two reasons. I think that a lot of older guys, they're just the comics, they just typically are a little cleaner. But the second thing is a lot of the acts, the comics that are on dry bar aren't, they don't work clean 100% of the time like I do. There's a few. Leanne Morgan obviously is probably be at the top of that list. She's completely clean and she has a dry bar. But Brian Bates, who's on the Nate Land podcast, but the older guys who've been doing it for a while have 25 minutes of clean material. So a lot of times that's they're just dry bars just looking for like who can work clean for 25 minutes, and it's just not a lot of people. And so people who are a little bit who've been doing it a little longer, like I think I could put 25 minutes together. So yeah, that's what you get. Yep.
It's awesome. So if anybody wanted more information about you, you've mentioned it earlier. You've got the Who Brought the Kid coming out
May 17th.
May 17th
Yep.
on YouTube.
Yep. Yep.
Dry Bar Special. Where do you go to see
Yeah,
that?
so yeah, so you can see it on the Dry Bar app. It's on May, it's May 9th is when it will premiere, and you can get a free trial to Dry Bar, so you know to the app, so you can watch that for free. And then if you follow me, I have a they give me a code that I'll post in a couple of weeks that you can use, I think, even for a free trial. But you'll see clips as well. And then after like a year or so, they release the whole thing on YouTube. For free for everybody to watch. But yep, that's where it's going to be. And then eventually it'll be on Peacock, which because Peacock just picked up all the Dry Bar seasons. And so I don't know when that'll be. It'll probably be a while, but that'll be
Right.
great.
No, that's awesome. Well, good luck with all of that. I know you've put in the time,
We're
you've
trying.
made your chops, and you're really kicking it right now. It's kind of fun to watch from the sidelines and see
Well, I
you go.
appreciate
So
it. Well, thank you. And you've been such a big support the whole time. This is the third time I think I've been on the pod. And
third,
so
fourth, yeah.
I'm so appreciative of that. And yeah, we're just gonna, just keep going. Be on the lookout. Go to my website, sign up for my email list. You'll get like links to everything, as well as like when I'm in your town, whether it's with Preacher or me headlining a gig, like you'll be one of the first to know.
Cool. Well, for Adam Bush, this is Scott Townsend. Thanks for watching and listening to the Scott Townsend Show. Have a great day. Everything's going to be all right. And we'll talk to you later.
The Scott Townsend Show is a Dietz Omam production. For more episodes, visit the Scott Townsend Show YouTube channel, listen on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. The